Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today, and this is the Indiana Bible College podcast. Today on the podcast, we have Reverend Flo Shaw, the director of the World Network of Prayer. She has a powerful prayer life that you can feel as she preaches and ministers in IBC Chapel. We hope that you will stick to this message. It's well worth it, entitled Open for Business. But before we get to that message, I want to remind you that if you are in town for General Conference, you should come and see the new campus improvements that we have made at Indiana Bible College. If you've not been to IBC for even a year or 5 years, it is well worth your time to see the incredible new exterior and all the changes that we've made. To sign up for that, go to ibc.com/GC tour. That's just our website, /GC tour. And also come by the booth. We've got a lot of really fun merch, custom Yetis, custom crewnecks, Sherpas. Come by the IBC booth, see us. Right now, let's get to our message, Reverend Flo Shaw, Open for Business.
I'm going to go to two books, and we're going to begin in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 12 and 13. And then afterwards, we're going to go to Luke chapter 2, verse 49. But first, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 12 through 13. And it reads, "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of God and to do them." And I might be paraphrasing some of it. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And it says, "And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wit ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Praise God. Brother Galleon, if you would lift up your voice and pray over the word. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to entitle this message, Open for Business. Open for Business. I want you to look at someone next to you and to tell them, "I'm open because I have some business to take care of." I want you to tell someone else, "I'm open because I have some business to take care." And it's good to have fun, but I could see here that you're all about the business too, as you would not even be enrolled at IBC. And so God is preparing the student body to be used mightily in this end time. Do you believe that? My goodness, I feel a witness in the Holy Ghost. Amen. "I must be about my Father's business" are among the first recorded words of Jesus. Is your heart and hands always open to the business of your Father when he calls you to pray and to minister in his kingdom? The world says there's no business like show business, but in reality, there's no earthly business that supersedes his heavenly business. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings." Oh my goodness, I believe God wants you to arise and shine, because the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. God will send you among great people. He will use you to impact this generation and future generations. Amen. He wants you to be people of influence. Amen. We have a purpose to fulfill our Father's business. So how is it that any distraction or you fill in the blank that you sought me because I will not let anything interfere with taking care of my Father's business? Surely within yourself, you must know I must be about my Father's business. And you know, even at times being a student, especially if you work, you have a job, you have your studies, you have other responsibilities. And even those perhaps who are in full-time ministry, we can get so busy sometimes that sometimes we neglect to take care. We can do the work of the ministry, praise God. Amen. But God wants us to be in a place that our busy schedule or our busyness, B-U-S-Y-N-E-S-S, not supersede the business, B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S, of the Lord. In the Bible, Martha was cumbered about with so many things in her serving. She was busy. Martha, she was not doing bad things, but good things become bad things when it keeps you from the most important thing, being at the feet of Jesus, like Mary did. Mary chose the good part. You know, we can read about Jesus. We can read the Word of God. We can know his biography and part of the context. But do you know the author? Do you know God in prayer and in your relationship with him? It is important that we really know him and that he knows us. My husband, who is now a pastor and a police officer, he's bivocational. What a combination. You know, he says he'll put him in jail and pray him through. Hey, you got everything in one packet. But prior to getting in church, and this is before we even married, he was in the business of entertainment. They would set up shows for famous industry artists. He met people like Michael Jackson, well-known entertainers, Jasmine Guy, Steve Harvey, etc., on a first-name basis. You know what? But looking back, God took him from that life. And now he's saved. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, serving God. And there's nothing to compare to. Having met people like that, there is nothing glamorous in this world that you would ever want to go back to if any of you ever experience it. Nothing. He could sit there and tell you all kinds of stories and things that happen. And you know, I hear that you are having a block party. And I'm telling you, there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Serving God and being in church is the best place to be. There is nothing in this world that you would ever want. Praise God. Jesus Christ is the most important person to know. He is God. Do you know who you are in Christ? He wants you to know who you are in him. He wants you to know your value through him. You know, I mentioned, you know, like I said, I admire you. You have the opportunity to be in Bible college. Initially, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost in college, I was a sophomore in college, but I was going to a secular college, LSU in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And so I never went to Bible college, but, you know, I've studied and so forth and prepared myself in the capacity of ministry I'm using now. And sure, when I graduated, you know, I still was in that profession for a while as a research chemist and did a little bit in chemical engineering. But now I research the things of God. This is better than anything that you could ever want. And so I believe God has ordered your steps. There is a destiny that you have. You are not here by accident. You are here on purpose, intentionally, because God has a plan. But through it all, God diverted my steps, and now I am in full-time ministry, and I appreciate that. But you know, I learned some things. Scientific evidence confirms that the human value of a natural body is worth about a dollar. If you took all of your physical components and put it in a plastic container, you know, your hair, your skin, everything, physically, in the natural, it's worth about a dollar. And of course, the components in your body, we're mainly composed of water, minerals, elements, etc. And so the value of the human body physically is worth about a dollar. Now, I want to illustrate something, but I need a volunteer. So I need one person to run up here and face the audience to be a volunteer. Come on, I see you. Okay, I'll let you pick them, Brother Galleon. Who you want to? You got it? Okay, all right, face the audience. Here you go, sir. What's your name?
Blaze.
Blaze. Ooh, Blaze. He's on fire. Okay. Oh, my. Okay, it hadn't got there yet. I need you to take that $20 bill and stretch it out, and everyone can see. You might kind of have to just kind of do this. $20 bill. Can you imagine what you could buy with a $20 bill? Just name a couple of things. Huh?
Culver's.
Culver's. I like Culver's. We have a Culver's right down the street from us. We have a Chick-fil-A, too. So we got choices. Okay. Now, this $20 bill has value. You have value. Now, I want you to take that $20 bill and just ball it up. Throw it on the floor. Step on it. Oh, my, that's enough. Okay, pick it up and stretch it out. Some of you may feel that you have had a background and the devil has lied to you, a bad background, that you feel that you don't qualify and you're not capable, and this is your past. You may feel spiritually that you once had value and the devil stepped on you. You may feel that others may have ridiculed you, stepped on you, and you may feel worthless. You've been cast down. But guess what? When he stretched out that bill, it has the same value that it had before it was stepped on. You have value. And God wants you to realize that he can still go buy what he wants to. And so you're worth at least a dollar in the physical. You know, someone needs to go and tell the rapper 50 Cent he's worth at least a dollar. You don't have to demean yourself to the entertainment of this world. You don't realize what you have. You have value. You have spiritual riches that can't even compare to this world. Now let's give Blaze a hand. He did a great job. Thank you, Blaze. And you get to keep that. Go to Culver's. Now some of you are thinking, I should have ran up here and volunteer. You can go to Culver's, Chick-fil-A, wherever, and get you something to eat. Amen. Now that when the devil tries to remind you of your past in the world, which may have been bad, then you remind him of his future that will be worse. Don't let the devil remind you of where you came from. Just remind him of where he's going. It's time to get the devil off of your back and put him under your feet. He's going to always fight. He's going to always tempt. Praise God. But greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. God wants you to connect to him through prayer. It is the best wireless connection. You may have troubles with Sprint, AT&T, whatever. Honey, you don't have no problems when you try to connect with God. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Romans 12:11 says to not be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We have to always be open for business when he calls. 2 Chronicles 7:15 says, "Not mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." Decide that it's not business as usual, but you will walk by faith and not by sight. Don't be distracted by opposing influences, whether through negative human spirits or evil forces of the things of this world. Anything that attempts to come your way, God has given you power over those things. And a lot of times when we go through things, we go to so many people. I know the Bible says in the multitude of counsels there is safety. But sometimes we, you know, and sometimes it can even turn to a gossip line. You have to be careful in the guise of a prayer request. So we go to all these people thinking, if I tell enough people, my problem will be resolved. But in many cases, you don't have to do that. There's been people that have asked other people to pray for them and go to many people, and they hadn't even talked to God about it yet. My goodness. Go to the throne and not the phone. Some people are confiding and going to other people about what to do, and they don't even know what they're doing themselves. So how are they going to help you? And so it's so important to connect with God. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to people, but oftentimes God will speak to you. And then as a confirmation, someone else perhaps may confirm what God is speaking to you. Amen. And so always try to serve God and take care of his business. And if there are any people, friends, or negative influences that are coming your way, I tell you, just tell them, let your heart and your actions kindly say, keep your nose out of my business. Because you're taking care of the Father's business. It's not about us, but it's all about him and his purpose. Remember, all of the power comes from God. We would not have power at all except it cometh from above, from God. We are just conduits that his spirit can flow through. Luke 10:18-19 says, Jesus said, "I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over some of the power, all of the power of the enemy." Some of you caught that. Good. And so God has given all of the power, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. It's interesting that he said serpents and scorpions. Could it be that serpents attack from the head and scorpions attack from the tail? Could it be Jesus is saying whether head or tails, we win? And so God has given us all the power. God wants to use you students mightily in his kingdom. In fact, over the past few years, over the last 3 years, World Network of Prayer started a new prayer event called Ministry and Prayer, or the acronym is MAP, the map seminar. You're on the map. God knows exactly where you are. And in this initiative, the first event that we had, it's so interesting. I had a dream about Brother Stone King, and he was on campus. And he was talking to students and teaching them. And then I called him, and it was interesting. To make a long story short, it was a confirmation. We worked with Bishop David Bernard, and he was so excited because initially he was going to go and speak at Urshan College, and Brother Bernard says, we need him to speak to UGST students too. So they had a combined thing. He spoke to UGST, then they combined it, and he spoke in chapel. And it was powerful, and he even taught during the day classes, fivefold ministry, gifts of the Spirit, all kinds of other subjects. And then we partnered with the church, New Life St. Louis, Pastor Aaron Batchelor, and it was an open event for ministers and other people, but the students were involved. And it was powerful. Because God is targeting in on young people and even our colleges, because he is not only using you now, but he has a great plan to use you in ways that you never even imagined. And so last year we went to ABI, and then World Network of Prayer is involved too. We did a prayer of the prayer evangelism part. And we've been traveling around the world, going to countries and different localities in North America and Canada, and training on prayer evangelism, and literally taking the students out to do a prayer walk. And it was amazing. And so last year, right before things began to shut down with the pandemic, it was in March, we had a MAP seminar at ABI. And my goodness, the power of God fell in that place. It even fell during the classroom setting during the day. And, of course, we had the services at the church during the night and the entire seminar. And Brother Stone King contacted me afterwards. He said, Sister Flo, Sister Shaw, he said, I have never felt such power and hunger coming from students like that in my life. Something is happening with this young generation. And even when we've had prayer events, prayer summonses, sometimes we'll have like a kids separate prayer event and a youth separate prayer event. And anytime that we have Brother Stone King involved in the schedule, he'll say, Sister Shaw, do not put the young people in a separate youth summons. He said, I want them in the sanctuary with the others when I speak, because God has allowed me to target in on them, and that's where one of my greatest burden is, because God has shown me what he will do among the young people, and that is you. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting what God is doing? Amen. So he is investing in young people. You know, God wants us to be sensitive. Sometimes even when you don't feel capable and qualified. I remember when I moved from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, moved to Texas, and started working and so forth and just settling down in my career. I remember I was at a grocery store. And I came through the checkout, and I was about to go to my car. And as I was exiting the door of the grocery store, now this was kind of, yeah, way back in the day, but there was a man who was standing right near the entrance area on the inside of the store on his phone. And when I passed by him, I looked at him. I mean, he was tall. He had dreadlocks. He had several earrings in his ear. He had tattoos all over his body. He had boots with chains on them. And, I mean, it was just something the way you look. He looked. He looked like a rock star person, someone that was really immersed in this world on drugs, perhaps. And when I passed by him, I heard the small, still voice of God say, I want you to invite him to church. And I felt intimidated. And I thought, oh, my goodness. How many of you, God is dealing with you to reach out to someone in your family, in your community, or just anyone, a stranger on the street? And I remember passing that young man up. At the time, he looked like he was in his 20s or so, and just going to my car because I felt, you know, not capable or qualified, intimidated, and the enemy will try to put fear in you. And so I remember putting my groceries in my car. I got in my car. I put it in reverse. I was about to pull out of that parking space. And oh, my goodness, conviction. I thought, oh, my goodness, it was so bad. I thought the Lord would strike me right there. That's how I felt. And I was like, ugh, I was struggling. God wants to break that struggle right now. You could be the doorway for that person being saved and delivered. And so I pulled back in the parking spot and just said, help me, God. Soon as I went back in the store, perfect timing, he was just getting out off the phone. And I said, sir, you don't know me. I introduced myself, but I said, I just feel led to invite you to church. He told me his name was Frankie or Frank. And it's so funny, you know, all of that external or that exterior looks so hard and mean. But when I looked in his eyes, he looked like a scared little boy. I thought that was very interesting. And he was kind and receptive, so he took the card and he just said, thank you. That was it. When I went back home to my apartment, this is before I got married, I could not even put my groceries away. I had such a burden to pray for him. I went to intercessory prayer for about 2 hours. How many times God is moving upon us to pray? And sometimes we neglect it. And I prayed until the burden was lifted. How long do you pray when you feel that when God is calling you? You pray until the burden is released, the burden of the Lord. And then sometimes he may allow you to pick it up later. Or sometimes it's a release and that prayer will be answered. So when it was released, I put my groceries away. About a week, couple of weeks later, I saw him from a distance standing at a bus stop. It was another reminder. When I got back to my apartment, I had a burden to pray again, and I interceded. And then a few months later, I saw him from a distance, and it was a reminder. And one time he saw me and waved, and I continued to pray. To make a long story short, for about a period of 2 years, I was praying for him, someone I didn't even really know. And at the time, I lived in Houston, Texas. There is this city called Beaumont, Texas, that is about an hour's drive away. Well, listen to this, what happened 2 years later. I was at a Texas district camp meeting, and the day services had ended. And I needed to leave early because I had another something else scheduled. So I slipped out of the services, and I went through the exhibit hall, and there was really no one hardly in there yet. But I saw a young man sitting at the table with a young lady, and from a distance they were staring at me and talking and pointing. And just from my periphery, I saw it, and I thought I didn't think, I just continued. And then all of a sudden, I heard someone say, ma'am, ma'am. And it was the young lady, and she did like this, and I came to their table, and they were representing Texas Bible College, TBC. And then she was sitting there with this young man, suited up and everything, and then he asked her, she asked him, is this her? And I was kind of looking like he looked familiar, but do I know you? And he was clean cut, his hair was cut short, he had a suit on, a tie on, clean cut. And then I saw those eyes. He said, I am Frankie. It blew me away. He said, thank you for praying for me. It's like he knew it. He said, I moved to Beaumont, Texas. I found an apostolic church. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in Jesus' name. God has called me to preach. I'm a student at TBC. Don't judge a book by its cover. God wants to use you to reach souls. God can use you to raise up an apostle Paul, a Lydia. God wants to use you. He's speaking to some of you right now. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord for that. God wants to guide you in every area of your life, even your personal details. Now, I'm going to get a little bit personal. Might be a little bit funny, but who cares? The older I get, you know, I just say things that so may help you out. How many, which I imagine most of you who are in here are single? Are there single ladies in the house? Raise your hand. Some are raising them high because they want the men to notice. I'm single and available. married as an older single, even though I wanted to get married in my 20s, I got married in my 30s. It was God's timing, so hey. But, you know, when it's the right time, it's okay. I've heard Brother Stone King say, the worst thing than being single is being married to the wrong person. I remember in my journey, and God is interested in these personal prayers too. And I know back in Texas, they say, you know, they would even tease and say Texas Bridal College. I know there's a B, you know, Indiana Bridal, but anyway, won't go there. But I remember when I was in my 20s, when I graduated from college, I went to Alabama during the summer. I wasn't in summer school to help my sister, and she was going to the church there. And my sister is the first one that introduced us to truth. She was enrolled as a college student at Louisiana Tech, and someone in her chemical engineering department invited her to church for the first time on a Wednesday night. She repented. She got the Holy Ghost. She got baptized in Jesus' name. She introduced it to my family. My father was a Baptist pastor. Now most of my family are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. It's a domino effect. And she is married right now, and her husband pastor a church in Galveston, Texas. They took, you know, just like I heard this place was converted from a hospital, they took a fire station and converted it into a church. And they named it Apostolic Firehouse. But they don't put out fires there, they start them. So blaze, God wants us all to be on fire and blazing. Praise God. But anyway, that wasn't even in my notes, but I went there. But I went to visit her during the summer and went to her church, did some work there. And I met a young man named Gary. Well, let me stop saying names. I might get in trouble. This may get out somewhere. And I thought, oh my goodness, I wanted to get married so bad. That was the ideal thing to do. And that may be God has a timing for everyone, young ladies, young men. It may be sooner, later, but it's always best to wait on God if some of you are concerned about that. And I remember we were friends during the summer, but at the end of the summer, my sister and another sister in the church came and they said, we want to sit down and talk to you about Gary. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is this? You know, I was hopeful that it would develop into something. And they looked at me serious and they said, Gary is a player. And I thought, a piano player? I'll even settle for a football player. I really want a basketball player. It didn't register. And they said, no, a player. That there's other ladies in the church that he's been trying to. And I thought, oh my goodness. And you have to watch even those in the church. They could be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Or they'll say, I'll come to church, but then once they get you, they're back out in the world. Needless to say, that didn't work out. And then I met another young man, but I won't say his name. But he had proposed to me, and I was about to get married. We went to Pastor Kilgore. Pastor Kilgore just didn't quite feel right about it. Listen to your spiritual leadership. They see things you don't see. They watch over your soul. And he said, I didn't think that was right. I was hurt. I was broken. He says, y'all can go somewhere else, get married, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, I just got over myself. And still, you know, I was still praying that God would show my pastor. That night I had a dream, and in this dream, I was with this young man, and we were about to sign a certificate. And in the dream, I was excited and said, well, something must have happened. You must talk to my pastor, because maybe it looks like we might be getting married. But when I was about to sign it, I saw that it was a death certificate. And sure enough, God showed me, and later on, that person backslid and remained in the world. I'm talking to somebody here today. And so you must be sure. Then I met a third person. Now, don't think it was all these men. This was like over a period of time. Remember, I got married in my 30s. Okay? 20s now. I'm in. So I met another young man from the Pentecostals of Alexandria. How good could it get? On fire, involved with the youth group. And, you know, he had met some of the family and people in the church and my pastor. My pastor still didn't say nothing at the time. But he was really serving God. And for about 2 years, we were friends and was hopeful it would develop into something. But apparently, God had a plan. Just because someone is good and kind and in church, that may not mean that that's the person for you. Is it aligning with the ministry and the destiny that God has called you to? It's so important to be in the will of God. Praise God. And so I'll never forget it. It was at Because of Times meeting. I was in the altar. It was some good old-fashioned moves of God. And the last two people to get up out of that altar during that day service was myself and Sister Vesta Mangan. And she was right there, and I was right over there. And when she got up, it looked like our eyes connected. She pointed her fingers at me, her finger, she said, "Sister Flo," she says, "that is not the young man God wants you to marry." I was like, "Oh my, what do you tell Sister Vesta Mangan?" All I could say was, "Yes, ma'am." Even though my heart was broken, I was like, "Oh Lord, how long do I have to wait?" And sure enough, you know, she just said, "God wants you to marry a strong apostolic pastor." And that has come to pass. Finally, I met my to-be husband, Dwayne. I had my mother praying, my sister praying, my friends praying, all kinds of people praying. My mama saw him in a vision. He had a blue shirt. Another lady, he had a blue shirt with broad shoulders. I was like, "My goodness, he's coming." Oh, my. And you never know how it's going to happen because a sister in who was going to Life Tabernacle knew of a minister who was going to First Church, Brother Gurley's church in Houston, in Pearland. And she said, "You know, Sister Flo, you have a brother who lives in Austin, and we go down there, and your brother seems to be hungry for God," because I had been giving him Bible study. He said, "This minister goes back and forth to Austin and has a group he's doing Bible study with. Maybe your brother Paul could get to meet him, and they could connect," and so forth. So sure enough, we arranged it, exchanged numbers, and so this minister and I talked over the phone a few months regarding that. But then we were at an event called The Fire Still Falls. My First Church of Pearland, and the singles group went. And that lady, her name was Betty, was there too. She said, "Oh, Flo, that minister that you've been talking to, who's been talking to your brother, he's here." And it was intermission time. And so she said, when I see him, I'm going to introduce so y'all can at least meet, you know, since he's working with your brother." I said, "Sure." And then, so in the foyer area, all of a sudden, she's coming and he's there. He turned around, broad shoulders. He turned around and looked. And the fire fell, but it was a different one. Lord, help me. I was like, "Oh, my goodness." And he was the one. And to make a long story short, God joined us together. And it's been well over 20 years. So it's so important to wait and to listen to the voice of God. And to this day, I tell him, "Honey, you look so good in blue, that blue shirt." And so God is preparing. Oftentimes when you're in the work of God, gleaning, Ruth, you ladies, then you will meet your Boaz. I can tell you about a young friend I know who desired to get married. She invited, this was at LSU, over 30,000 students, and did a Bible study, put flyers up all over. Only one person came. But it's okay. That person got filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, became a minister, became her husband. So oftentimes you can be in Bible college. Just get your mind off of those things and put it on God. You will be like Ruth in the fields gleaning. And then you will meet your Boaz. And the same, one girl said, "Lord, I've been waiting so long. Where are you going to have to get him from? Australia?" God has a sense of humor. Don't you know she married a missionary son from Australia? And men, the same applies for you, young men. You know, it's so important to find a godly wife. You know, a guy asked a girl he was dating, what books do you like? Like spiritual books to read. So he was just using general terminology. What books do you like? She replied, checkbooks. Run. You have to make sure their hearts are right, that they have the same vision you have, because it could affect your ministry. It must align. You must pray. God will show you. He will send you the right person, because it can affect you the rest of your life. How did I ever get into this? Somebody must have been praying. So let me move on. God wants to do things in the spirit. When we release it to him, sometimes we try to do things and make things happen in our own carnal efforts and our own ingenuity. But God wants you to allow his spirit to help, not by might, not nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. I remember one time I'd driven from Houston, Texas, to my home church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I received the Holy Ghost. And this is how God feels about prayer. I remember the pastor had asked me to testify about prayer, so I went up there and I did. And it was interesting. And in these things, some of these things that I'm sharing, not saying that this happens always, but through the course of years, God will do special miracles. And all of a sudden, after I was done, a white light about 1 inch from the ceiling in the middle exploded. And you could literally see like a white glory cloud. And the people began to worship and shout and dance. And that went on for a while as a move of God. Now, this particular church had about 80 people in it. I'll never forget it. The next week, the pastor called me back. And he said, Sister Flo, you'll never believe what happened. That week prior, I had people I was counseling in my office. One lady had cancer. Another man had lost his job. Another couple had marital problems. And he went on and on in the list. He said, but when that divine wonder happened in the church and the manifestation of the spirit, every last one of these people called me this week with miracles. The lady's been healed from cancer. This person got a job. That marriage has been put back together. And he said, my goodness, I don't have a problem in the church. Can you imagine, Pastor? Why? It's because God wants to manifest in his spirit. I'll never forget it. That week, even Brother T.W. Barnes talked with me, and over the phone, he said, Sister Flo, I heard what happened to the church in Baton Rouge. And I said, yes, sir. What do you think, Brother Barnes? Brother Barnes was my mentor. He said that God confirmed his word with signs following. A lot of times, as people, or even as ministers and pastors and leaders, as we try to counsel people, what if it will take us to do a year of counseling, or a month, or a week, or a day, or an hour? God can do it in a second by the power of his spirit. So we must get in the spirit. Now I have a few pictures because my time is winding up, so if the media team could be so kind to help me. And if you could just display the pictures that I have, starting with number one. We were at a conference in Chicago. That's Brother, a prayer conference, prayer summons, WNOP, Sam Emery. And so the ministry were standing facing Brother Gonzalez, Brother Colthorpe. They were facing the audience. And in that particular meeting, God used Brother Sam Emery greatly. And Brother Stone King was there too. And God wants to manifest his spirit. There was a lady in that meeting who needed a knee. She just had a knee replacement. So she didn't even have any bone in her cartilage, any bone cartilage in her knee. And she was in pain. She couldn't walk. She came with a cane. And so when the spirit of God began to manifest, and the key is to get in the spirit and allow it to flow. And so all of a sudden, God healed her, and she started walking back and forth in front of the altar, and she took her cane, and she literally, in the middle when Brother Stone King was ministering, she gave it to him, and he's like, what do I do with this? And he put it on the altar. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to continue to manifest his spirit. Amen. There was a lady who was in her 30s. She had had a lung condition since a baby that she had taken medication for a respiratory condition, major. One of the prayer coordinators was just using the gifts of the Spirit, spoke to her and says, God has given you new lungs. You see, I believe, you know, whatever happened in the Bible, God wants to do today and even more, because he says, greater works than these shall you do. And that's what I feel among you. You understand that, young people. You're a generation that God is raising up, that you're going to believe God for anything. We're going to see miracles. You're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? Because the hour demands it. Do you realize we're in the end time? Do you realize the depth of sins and the things that's going on in this world and the unveiling of the Antichrist that's about to happen, even with this pandemic? And if evil is waxing worse and worse, the church is waxing greater and greater. And you understand this. So you believe that God can do anything. So she looked at her and she just breathed and she said, God's going to give you new lungs. Sure enough, her lungs just boom. And she started breathing. She said, I haven't breathed like this ever. And I didn't even know that had happened when she came to me. She said, look, Sister Shaw. And I was trying to understand what was going on. She was just going, inhaling and exhaling. Can you believe it? And then she told me what happened. And God totally healed her. Totally gave her new lungs. Next picture. We were at In the Detroit area, Pastor Art Wilson's church, and we had a conference there too, and there was a lady who had back pain, and she asked for prayer, and so I laid hands on her back, but she was holding a baby, and for that baby not to fall when she started shouting, I just kind of braced up the bottom of the child, under 1 year old, and prayed for her. That next morning, she came running to me. And that's what I feel among you. Some things you've been praying and asking God for, and he's given you some insight about your ministry. But there are some things you don't even know yet. If he showed you, it would blow your mind. But there are some things that God's going to even impart in the spirit. It's going to be like fringe benefits on a job. Well, that next morning, she came to me. She said, Sister Shaw, you'll never believe what happened. You didn't know this. But not only did God heal my back, my baby has had a bad rash for days on its bottom. When I went home that night and took off that diaper, it was completely gone. God's going to do things that you didn't even expect. You didn't even ask for. God's going to minister. He's going to bring healing. He's going to use you. Be sensitive to that. Next one. This is in Pearland, Texas. And this particular event, before I even go there, I'm going to mention that because I'm about to wind it up. Amen. And this is what I feel in this house. And God has given me dreams, and I've directly spoken to some of the ministers, and they've confirmed. Not only we talk about mantles being transferred in the context of those who have gone on, men and women, but there are mantles that even those who are living today and anointings that God wants to transmit and to as he desires, and gifting of the Spirit severally as he will. God wants you to have confidence to know that if he's desiring to give you something, to release something, that you're going to be able to handle it. If he's giving you gifts of the Spirit, honey, you better make sure you have the fruit of the Spirit to balance that. Everything has to be done in submission to authority, your leadership, your pastor. You can't be a renegade and be way out there. But God wants to entrust you with these things. And he does. That's why he's given me this message. But I've had dreams about, like one time I had a dream about Brother Stone King. He had stacks of shirts, and I knew they were mantles. Like you go in a store, you see the same kind, same color. And they were even marked with different gifts of the Spirit. And he confirmed that was something to give out to the young people and others. And so God wants you to be sensitive. Even Brother Morgan, I saw where he had a big warehouse in Brother Buster. And it was so full, it was no room to put
put anything else in there. Why? Because it's time. It was time. And they confirmed it's time to get it out. It's time to release. And that's what I feel. That's coming to you. That's coming to you. Some of you are already experiencing that. And I have to go quick so I can finish up. But God wants to use you. God wants you to have an anointing and an authority. The anointing of God empowers you to pray more effectively and also do some things beyond your natural ability. But the authority of God is a step further, and it helps you to take dominion and power in directing that anointing. And God wants to give some of you that spiritual authority. God wants you to speak on behalf of his kingdom in heavenly realms, and things will come to pass. Your words will carry weight, praise God. And God wants you to speak those things as though they are. And I mentioned NAYC and the message that Brother Cunningham preached about generation or Gen Z. And I just feel to highlight that. In the dream that I had, I saw a church, and it was run all by young people. I mean, the usher at the door, the pastor, the music ministry, everything was almost like to perfection in the spirit. And so anointed wisdom beyond years that maybe an 80, 90-year-old man or woman would have was resident in these young people. I never saw anything. Everything just running smoothly. And then the Lord spoke to me. I didn't know it was called Generation Z, but everything that Brother Cunningham spoke was exactly so. And I mentioned that. I shared that with Pastor Carson as well, too. And so Brother Cunningham confirmed that. You must realize that you have resurrection power inside of you. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. That same spirit that raised Lee Stone King from the dead is in you. God wants you to realize who you are. What's more important than what you are when you go to bed tonight is who you will be when you wake up tomorrow. God is taking you further and deeper. Leadership, excellence, vision, integrity. That's you. The acronym is Levi. You're a Levi generation. You're a royal priesthood. God has invested all of this in you. And before I elaborate on that last picture and close, it's happening. God is allowing me to meet you and to meet other people. I was just in the Washington, D.C. area about a couple of months ago. It blew me away. The pastor had introduced me to a young man. I won't say his name. 18 years old. And this young man, when the first year I went to that church and met him, he had already baptized 25 people in the river. Had been in church a year. Next, this year, he had already baptized 50 people. He's not sitting in the pew. He's sitting next to the pastor now. You know, as one of the evangelists, the ministers. But I tell you, he's used prophetically. He is a prophet. And as I was at the end of that service, and he's under submission of his pastor, he doesn't go above him, even though he has such a great anointing. And that's so important to have that balance, because you can, honey, move this pulpit down there. If you're not under submission to authority, it's to no avail. And so it's so important to keep all that in check and order. And his pastor's teaching, training him, his pastor himself, you know, operates in that area. After service, he said, Sister Shaw, he said, I just feel to tell you something. And the pastor had given him permission. And he said, this is what God is doing in the organization. And little, he didn't even know. You know, I was about to do a board presentation we do for WNOP. And I had to do a video for the seminars this year as well as I will be speaking. And I had listed 5 things where God was taking the church. My session is called What's Next in Prayer and the Prophetic. And this young man, he said, I just feel God is doing this. I encourage you to keep doing what you do. He named 1, 2, 3, 4. He had named the first 4 things I just did in the video a few days ago that no one knew about. And he named it to a T in order. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, he just named 4 or 5 things. I said, this is amazing. You just named 4 or 5 things. And he said, oh, I forgot to tell you. Name the other one. It was the 5th one. It blew me away. And the Lord spoke back, Gen Z. I mean, he is raising you up because the hour demands it. The next day when I saw him again, he told me some other things that was just right on target. And I was even wondering about something in my mind, trying to figure it out in my mind, thinking about it. He walked up to me and read my thoughts. I think it was Jesus in the Bible that read thoughts. God wants us to put on Christ. We must walk in the image of Christ, praise God. And I'm encouraging you to spend that time in prayer, fasting, learning, growing, because this is your future. Stand, praise God. And I'm going to close it with this. And then I want us to pray because I know that you have classes coming up, praise God. I don't care how bad things are going or what trials you go through, and this will speak to the ministry, all of us young people. I had World Network of Prayer was supposed to do a prayer summons in Pearland, and that particular meeting they were renovating the church, and I remember we already had speakers lined up, and one speaker got sick and he couldn't come, and we found that out like 2 weeks before the meeting. And then not even barely days before the meeting, two other speakers canceled. And one of them just said, I just don't feel led to come. And it seems like, oh my goodness, these are spiritual people. What's happening? Sometimes God will, he will mess up your schedule, mess up your plans. That's being sensitive in the spirit and spirit led. Because he wants to do something special. And he's looking for a people that's like that. And of course, in the natural, you'll panic like a few days. Who are we going to get? Da, da, da. And then the church wasn't ready yet. And so with the speakers being changed and the advertisement, the leadership thought that perhaps it would affect the finances. And so I remember talking to Brother Bishop Bernard about it because he's directly over World Network of Prayer, the pastor, Brother Gurley. And Brother Gurley suggested to cancel it. And I was devastated because we had been planning because of these really valid reasons. And I remember that night I went home, I had a dream. I dreamed about the conference, the people that would be there. I saw the amount of people. I saw the success of it. And so I didn't know what to do because, and even my leadership said, well, I heard from the district superintendent and cancel it. And so I thought, Lord, what do I do? And this is a lesson in submission. I talked to my husband, my pastor, my authority. He says, pray about it and just go to the leaders and pour out your heart. And whatever they say to do, you do it. So I did. And they said, okay, Sister Shaw, if you really feel it, then that's fine. Proceed. But the financial responsibility, the outcome is on World Network of Prayer. And so we proceeded. But everything continued to just fall apart. Even the intercessors for people for pre-service prayer were canceling. And it was raining. Everything was just gloomy. Everything was falling apart. If you've ever been in a situation in your church, in your ministry, in your life, you know, sometimes God allows that so you can see his power. And I'll never forget it. 2 days before the meeting started on that Thursday. And so we was finally able to get a couple of speakers. I think we got Jason Sisko locally, Brother Herring to do the evangelistic part, and someone else from New York. And I'll never forget that Tuesday I was in the hotel room. And I was just, and in the natural, it tries to affect you and your spirit. And so I was trying to fight against depression, discouragement. And I was up at 2. And you would think, oh, concern, but it was more like worry, and we say concern. So I was battling, and people were still texting, canceling. Everything was falling apart. And then, actually, before I even knew how the weather was, I asked Siri, my phone. I said, how's the weather going to be? I didn't even know she talked like this. She said, the weather will be terrible. I said, the devil is in this phone in Jesus' name. It was just horrible. Finally, I said, I need to just try to go to bed. So by 2:30, I walk. I go to the shower, take a shower. And so I was taking a steamy shower, and I had the curtains shower curtains pulled, and I was still talking to God in my mind about who was canceling and who I needed to replace, who was coming, who wasn't coming. And so finally, in that conversation in my mind, all of a sudden, I just yelled out to God. I said, God, it doesn't matter who comes or who doesn't come, as long as you come. And when I said that, God is my witness. Get ready. This has only happened to me once. I pulled back the shower curtains, and on the steamy mirror were the words written, I come to move. It blew me away. I thought, this is a sign. This is a wonder. It scared me so bad, I almost ran out the hotel room with no clothes on. I felt angels. I felt the power of God. I felt the Spirit of God. I didn't know how that got there, if the previous person wrote that. What timing? Or the Lord? I don't know. But it was a miracle. And it was just amazing. And you think that's something. It sounds a little bit humorous. But God did come to move. Because in that Friday night service, this was supposed to be the worst conference. The one that had fallen apart. The people wasn't going to come. The place was packed. These are all the ministers standing on the pulpit. Look at the altar. And Brother Josh Heron spoke, and praise God, 72 people got the Holy Ghost. The most. And my goodness, in any other meeting, I want you to come up front. God's going to blow your mind and the expectations, because he has come to move. God is telling me to tell you, he has come to move in your life. The things that you can hardly believe, the miracles, the anointing, my goodness, that he will place on you. Hallelujah. God's transmitting something in the spirit now. He's imparting in the spirit. Ishata ilamahosha ye kasa ishata nalamaha. God's imparting from his throne room. Reach up. Some of you, God's releasing the gifts of the spirit to some of you young men. An anointing, that Gen Z anointing. You're going to be used. You're going to be used mightily. You young ladies, you young men, God has prepared the way. He's come to move. He's come to move. He is writing it before you. He's writing it in your spirit. He's come to move in this soul, in your life. The move is not just happening today, but it's going to continue every day. As you walk, he's going to move. He's going to take you places. You're going to minister. He's going to use you in miracles, signs, and wonders. He's going to use you. Some of you are going to be apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. Your ministries will overlap.